Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to The United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Thursday morning, June the 12th. So where are we at with Gyökeres? Where are we at with outgoings? Well, sometimes you've got to make it on your own, and sometimes you've got to go out there and find stuff, because I don't know about you, I'm bored to the back teeth of this Gyökeres story. So you know what? We've gone out, we've spoken to a few people, and actually we've got a few bits of information that changes the story a little bit, and we're going to lead on Victor Osimhen and potential new talks with him. Also, what's the situation with Antony? Ridiculous offer coming in from Betis, according to reports this morning. Not good enough is what I would say. And there is, yes, an update from Portugal about Gyökeres and talks. I will read that story out, and it is from Record in Portugal, and apparently Man United were part of the talks yesterday. But I've played the game. I've played the bloody game. If it's not Romano and it's not Ornstein and it's not somebody credible, I don't believe it. I've played the game with Portuguese reports. We had the whole summer of Bruno and he didn't sign. We had 3 years of Gaetan and he didn't sign. So I'm not going to sit here this morning and, you know, take you lot for idiots and start going, talks with because of the Record in Portugal. Like, you know, the one thing that's good about doing this for years is we do understand things like that. I'm bored of the Gyökeres story. We'll talk about it, but I want to lead on something that I know is based on good information. So what we had been told, and this is coming in from the same person who told us about the Delap story, the Onana story, that Yoro would start in the Champions League final, that we're not in talks with Semenyo, that Gyökeres would be, the Garnacho stuff as well. Nearly had something out. So with Victor Osimhen, Manchester United's stance is this. They are willing to have talks with Victor Osimhen and his representatives. They value him as a potential target for Manchester United. And obviously, who knows what's going to happen with Gyökeres. But the situation with Osimhen is that two criteria have got to be met. The same criteria as Cunha, the same criteria as Mbeumo, and the same criteria that they're working through with Gyökeres. Victor Osimhen has to want to come to Manchester United, and he's got to be realistic about his wage demands. If he is going to play Man United off Chelsea, off PSG, off Saudi for the biggest bidder, then United just won't entertain talks. So the situation with Osimhen is United would open deep conversation talks with Osimhen today, but Osimhen's camp need to show those two things. So United are interested, and that interest has peaked more over the last couple of days with what's happening with Gyökeres and the competition and the fact that Osimhen's not going to Saudi. But at the moment, Man United will not pursue Osimhen any more than preliminary talks, because there is a fear, suspicion, that it's just going to be an auction, especially with what's been offered on the table from Saudi. So in the past, we've heard from people close to Osimhen that he'd love to play for Man United, that Champions League football doesn't matter, that it's a dream to play in the Premier League. And all those things are very interesting to Manchester United. But in keeping with what they're trying to do this summer, they cannot afford to waste time in talks with somebody that's going to talk to everybody else and go to the highest bidder. And in fairness, they did do that with Liam Delap. And they didn't expect that to happen with Liam Delap. But they would expect it to be happening with someone like Victor Osimhen, who's got lots of options. So United absolutely will go for Osimhen if he makes it clear that he wants to join Manchester United and he's willing to do it for a reasonable wage. And Man United aren't saying 100 grand. They're basically saying 250 grand a week, something like that. So that's where we are with that one. I am quite encouraged by that, to be honest with you, because I think that there has to be alternatives to what could happen in the Jóqueres race. I don't think it means that we're about to drop interesting Jóqueres, by the way. I just think the situation with Osimhen and Manchester United is somewhat confusing to many of our fans. So it's good to get clarity. It's not that United aren't interested in Osimhen. It's not that United wouldn't move for Osimhen. And it's not the fact that Amorim doesn't appreciate him or United don't appreciate him. Man United just can't afford to get played this summer. They can't afford to waste time this summer, and they can't afford to be a pawn in the game of chess. So if Manchester United get the indication from Osimhen's agent that he wants Man United and they're willing to talk reasonably, then United will do that deal. The same way they did it with Mbeumo, the same reason they did it with Cunha. Will we get that from Osimhen? Look, he's surprised people before. I think a lot of people thought he was going to go to Saudi. He agreed to go to Saudi last summer and it didn't happen because they moved for somebody else. And obviously at the moment, the Saudi deal is off. But it just depends on what the motivations of Osimhen is. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. I know a lot of people talk about attitude, talk about greed, talk about him being, you know, disruptive. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he'd be bloody brilliant for Manchester United. I think there is a genuine argument as to who is better between Osimhen and Jóqueres and who's the better fit for Manchester United. If it was pure player, I'd say Osimhen, but because of the system, I'd say Jóqueres, and that's why I'd go Jóqueres. So I think this is really interesting. And I agree with Man United's stance. I agree with the information that's coming out that if Osimhen wants Man United and wants to talk realistically about a good wage, then we will have those talks. But we cannot have talks with players that United fear are going to play them off each other to get the best financial deal they can. And I agree with that. Doesn't matter how good a player is, you don't want a player that's basically looking for the biggest paycheck. You want a player, especially at Manchester United, who wants to join the project like Cunha does, like Mbeumo does. So I think it's an interesting development with Osimhen, especially in relation to what happened on Monday with the Saudi stuff. And the ball's in his court. I think it's a clever move by Man United to say, look, we are interested. We will hold talks, but you've got to basically pledge that Man United's the club you want. And you've also got to be realistic on your wages, in which case we will reward you with that offer. So, what do I think personally? I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to go, I want to join Man United and I want to, you know, I'll do it for a reasonable fee. I think there's an agent there trying to make a lot of money. I think there's a player there that might be in the same boat. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It's encouraging that there's another story coming out different to the one we're about to talk about. Rob Always United said, I heard Osimhen likes United. Is it true? I mean, these sort of things. I mean, John Terry was a childhood Man United fan, still ended up being a Chelsea legend. So I think he is a Man United fan, I think. I mean, obviously being Nigerian, I think there's a lot of Man United fans out in Nigeria, isn't there? Agallo was a big Man United fan. So he may well be a Man United fan, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to want to join us. But I think it's a clever play by Man United because... we are not making any secret of the fact that Jóqueres is our priority, but by putting it out there to Osimhen that, look, you know, if you're interested, we will hold talks with you, then I think that's very, very clever. Should United negotiate with Sporting now after what their president said, or should they play hardball and risk losing Jóqueres to another club, says Slay? I'm going to talk about that in a moment, pal. United need to spend a few windows planting their feet against clubs who presume United will pay above the odds for players. It's hurting the club, says Jordan. See, I don't think we do, Jordan. I agree with you. But if we stand still now, when we're so far behind, we'll fall further behind. I agree, you don't want to pay silly money to people, but we're so far behind. What did Man City do when they were nothing? They paid silly money to become something. What did Chelsea do when they were nothing? They paid silly money to become something. What did Newcastle do in the old Division One when they were nothing? They paid silly money to become something. What did Blackburn do? They paid silly money. So this whole, we're not going to get hold to ransom and we need to put up with a few bad years. We definitely, definitely don't. We need to spend money to get out of this problem ASAP. I don't really care how much we spend. I wouldn't care if we spent £1 billion if we have it. I'm not actually that bothered. John says, we can't be putting our eggs in one basket. We should be talking to a couple of plan A type players at the same time. We can't take 6 weeks on one deal. Exactly, John. And this is basically what we've been told is that, you know, that Osimhen deal can be done and will be done if there is those two terms met. You can't force a deal that can't be done, though. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Do you think our chances of getting Gyökeres are a lot harder now, Mark, says Daniel? I mean, I'm going to talk about Gyökeres next, but, you know, I'm pretty bored of it, if I'm being honest. I always listen to you at work, making my day, says MUFC. Has Gyökeres said he wants United, says Paul Millier. Right, a few people talking about this. I didn't want to lead on this today because I'm bored to tears with it. I actually don't actually think that there is anything more to report. But let me just bring you some more stuff out of Portugal. So Record, which is an outlet in Portugal, are saying that Victor Gyökeres's agent met with Arsenal and Manchester United officials yesterday. Both clubs are preparing to present an official proposal to Sporting in the next few hours. I've got to say bullshit. I've got to. I mean, I saw that this morning and I thought, you know what? I'm really glad we've got the Osimhen stuff to talk about at the start, because that actually interests me. That's actually, you know, good information, well sourced. This just, you know, you get it out, you bloody get, you know, it's this sauce is mates with tomato ketchup, and HP sauce and Caesar salad sauce, which is actually quite nice sauce. I do like a bit of Caesar salad sauce, but not necessarily on a salad. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'll put Caesar salad sauce like on just on a bit of chicken, which is in Caesar salad, to be honest with you. Put it on your chips, you know. Anyway, I don't trust this source. I don't think it's true. It's got more holes in it than a hedgehog's pillow. So yesterday we had the Sporting outlet president or whatever basically saying they won't be bullied. They want a fair price and et cetera, et cetera. We also heard that Gyökeres was basically on strike. And now we're hearing that Man United and Arsenal are in official talks with the agent and will talk to the clubs as well in the next few hours. I just don't believe this. I don't believe this at all. And this is where I think you sort of need to take a step back and say, what's Fabrizio Romano saying? Will David Ornstein say something? Like, because I've been down this road before. I really, really, really wanted Bruno Fernandes. And for the whole summer, we didn't buy him. It was the same updates like this. Man United are about to put an offer in. Man United are talking to Sporting. Man United are in talk with the agents. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And then he didn't sign that summer. And then at the end of the summer, it was sort of presented that United were never in for him. And then in the January, we did go for him. And I think, you know, obviously I think we were looking in the summer, but maybe it wasn't advanced as many people talk. But what I don't understand about this is that Fabrizio said yesterday that we'd already spoken to Sporting last week, at the weekend, and this week. So what's the agent talks about? Why do we need to talk to the agent if we're already, you know, monitoring with Sporting? And honestly, Portuguese outlets are dodgy when it comes to reliability of transfer talk. So I'm not going to sit here this morning and say Man United. So yesterday it was breaking news that Arsenal were talking to the agent of Gyökeres. And then this morning it's just slipped in, oh, and United were there as well. I mean, Arsenal are better than Man United at doing their business quietly. So we wake up this morning and United were there as well. Bollocks. We'd have known if United were there yesterday. Also, in the next few hours, we're going to put an offer in for Gyökeres. Oh, bollocks. We're not. It's not. I don't think this deal's going to move quickly at all. I think there's an underlying lie somewhere. I really don't think that Arsenal and Man United are going head to head with offers at the same time for Gyökeres. I just don't. I really just don't. I can't figure out what the lie is at the moment, but there is one. I'm absolutely convinced that Man United and Arsenal are not about to put bids in and go head to head in the next few hours. And you know why? Because I think Gyökeres will have told one of them that he prefers the other. I mean, this is what I'm seeing. Sometimes you've got to, and I think we have become experts over the last 10 years through conversation, but you learn a story of a transfer. And there is just no way in a million years that Gyökeres and his agent have said, hey, we like you both. We can't make our mind up. You put a bid in with Sporting and let them sort it out. We're off for a pina colada on the beach in Greece. We're just happy with either of you. Yeah. And if we could have a threesome, we would. You know, he'd play for you midweek and he'd play for them at the weekend. It's just not how it doesn't work like that. So talks with the agent yesterday, and then both clubs are going to put offers in today. What a load of crap. Well, it's like getting married, isn't it? It's like having two people ask you to marry them. Ah, I like you both. How's about we both go to bed and see what it's like? And maybe we can just stay together. You know, you make a choice. You make a choice. And Gyökeres's choice may well be Arsenal. Man United wouldn't put a bid in then. You know what this feels like? It feels like what Liverpool used to do a few years ago. Joe Cole put it in his book. Signed for Liverpool, and then Liverpool basically asked him to put it out there in an interview that he turned United down, even though United hadn't approached him. And this just feels a little bit like that. Ooh, Arsenal and United are both about to put an offer in. Probably neither are. It's probably just the agent trying to stir up interest. Maybe it, you know, smokes out Juventus. Maybe it smokes out Liverpool. Maybe it smokes out PSG. You've got to understand that this agent is not happy. You've got to understand that this agent is trying to stir up business because he needs big money now on the table, because he's not going to get big money, because he's not going to get his client going cheap. So he's got to do his job. To be fair, Victor Osimhen's agent was doing this in late March. Oh, yeah, you know, he's open to anything. Man United without Champions League football, Wrexham in the Championship, yeah, you know, Baller League, he'll do it all, you know. So I think that sometimes you've got to be very wary of how agents work. And I don't for one minute think Man United and Arsenal held talks yesterday and are putting an offer in today. Because one of those clubs would be an idiot, because he'll have chosen one of them. Mark, with all the reports in the media, does what you see on Sunday change your stance on thinking he will sign for United, says Shane? Good try, Shane. No, I don't actually, I read your comments. I think some people are struggling with my stance and the stance of some people, but I haven't changed from where I was on Sunday. I haven't changed from where I was last night. I'm 70% that he'll come to Man United, which is still quite high. I still think it would take something shocking for him not to sign for Manchester United. And I would be genuinely shocked if Arsenal don't sign Sesko. So at the moment, I'm quite relaxed about it. I actually don't think much has changed since Sunday, other than Portuguese reports. And actually, when you analyse the last 24 hours, how many of these big stories are actually out of Portugal? And how many of them are out of the mouths of people that we would normally listen to? And the truth is, the last update from Fabrizio was that Gyökeres is not happy with the agent's the agreement for the fee. And United have been in talks three times in the last week. Great show, Mark. Love from South Africa, says Nate. There is definitely a reason Arsenal have stepped back from the deal. Could be big agent fees. Who knows? Munna Radin says, you do know that if the Portuguese Southgate remains here next season, we're absolutely doomed. Look at it from another fan base point of view. Amorim is the worst manager for rebuild. He is the worst manager. Okay, I'm just going to move on from that. At this rate, it'll be an Artovich incoming on a free, says Steg. Sesko makes more sense for Arsenal considering his age, and also they have habits to rotate and bring in the experience, says Rajaf. Mark, with all the reports in the media, I've done that one from Shane. Could Gyökeres end up resulting the same as Højlund? Outside leagues can be risky signing, as the league intensity are totally different. What are your thoughts? Talk. Go and watch Rio Ferdinand, and you and him will have a really good chat. I find the Gyökeres might struggle in the Premier League argument, the most basic, naive, stupid, crap analysis of football I've ever seen. Why are Arsenal in for him then? You know, people are acting like he plays for the dog and duck. Just go and watch the lad. You know, there's 90-minute games out there. Take the day off work. Take the day off school. Go and find 5 sporting games and watch him. And then come back and tell us what you think. Because you won't be going, he's going to struggle in the Premier League. It's just all about physicality. It's just, I'm sorry, mate, Tok. You're probably coming from a good place. But I'm so bored of it. I'm so bored of United fans trying to turn on players before we even bought them as well. Yeah, look, we are a shit football club that's been run shit for 10 years. I don't know when we got to this situation where we need players to be world class before they've even signed. If we get Gyökeres, if we got Osimhen, there has to be a period of adjustment. They're not going to hit the ground running. Since when did it become the norm that we've got to buy world class players and they've got to hit the ground running? This has never been the case. Never. I don't understand this analysis of players before they've even signed for us on, oh, they might not be good enough. I mean, it happened with Ugarte. Never even had time to put his shirt on before people were making up nicknames for him. I don't know whether people analyse football properly anymore. It's very rare that a player comes in and hits the ground running straight away. Not everyone's Erling Haaland. Vision Extra, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. Do you think Osimhen is their better option now with the rumours of how Gyökeres is acting to force a move? No, I still think Gyökeres is the priority, mate. I just think it's intriguing and encouraging that we basically are putting it out there that we would look at Osimhen, but he's got to fulfil the criteria. William Jones, thank you very much. Very rare these days players play for the badge, just Slow Sports News. Do you see Mbeumo being moved to striker if we failed to get any other player after Mbeumo? Still have PTSD after previous season transfers, says Adrian. I think if we want to put Mbeumo or Cunha up front, then we will pay the price for it next season. Square pegs in round holes, isn't it? They can do a job, but I think we need better than that. Thank you very much. Okay, let me just move on. We can always level back, but I'm conscious that it is a transfer show as well. So basically, we've also got some news coming in relation to Antony this morning. Obviously, outgoings are very interesting. Also, I don't know whether I mentioned it at the start of the show. The person I was talking to about Osimhen also gave us a bit of an update on the midfield and the goalkeeper as well, which I will bring in a few minutes if you remind me. But to the Mail and Simon Jones, Real Betis are proposing another loan deal for Antony with the option to make it permanent for around 35 million euros. A lot of people say, no, we can't do that. The interesting thing about that is, and look, I'd have to bow down to more financial minds than mine on this, but Antony book value at the moment is 32.5 million. So we need 32.5 million pounds now to break even, which is not surprising when we paid 80 for him. So he's very, very difficult to break even on. So 32.5 million is 40 million euros. I don't know anyone's going to give us that. So people are going, no, ridiculous. We can't do it. We can't let him go on loan again. But financially, it might work better for Manchester United, because if you loan him again for another year and cover his wages off, it's not costing you anything. And then in a year's time, if you get 32.5 million euros, that's basically going to cover off what he'll be worth next year, which is about 25 anyway. So unless somebody's going to give us 40 million euros this summer, I can sort of see what Betis are trying to do. It looks ridiculous on the face of it, but they'll cover his wages for a year and then you'll get the money for him anyway next year. And it has to be an obligation to buy. I completely agree, Ken, because we don't want to end up in the same situation as Sancho. But I've said this before, like people say, oh, we've got to sell this player, we've got to sell that player. Sometimes for FFP purposes, you're better off loaning a player out, covering their wages and getting another year off their contract, which brings down their book value. And then they can be sold at a better price. We basically did it with Sancho. Sancho's book value is really low now. So if we'd got the 25 million from Chelsea, we would have actually made a profit of about 8 million. With Antony, if we don't sell him for 40 million euros, we make a loss. So we can't really, if Betis say we'll give you 30 million euros now, we can't do that deal because we will make a loss of 10 million euros on the books. So we'd be better off loaning him there and then doing the deal in a year's time. So I think with Antony, unless someone's going to offer us 40 million euros, I think we might have to do something like that, because otherwise we're going to make a loss on the books. And this just goes back to the stupidity of the deal in the first place. When you pay 80 million pounds for a player and they're not worth it and they flop, then, you know, even 3 years down the line, you're in trouble trying to cover that off. And credit to Antony for what he did at Betis between January and now, because it's actually given him some value. Because I would have said in January, he's 100% going back on loan again in the summer because no one's going to offer anything for him. So I agree. I agree with what a lot of people in the chat are saying, that if we can get we need to sell him. But if we can't get the 40 million euros, I think this might make a lot of sense, to be honest with you. Sometimes I forget the transfer window and how tasty it can be. Wet my mouth, United, says Jay Law. Are you still confident on us getting Gyökeres, says Jason. Yes. Yes. I mean, I know that was a yes. But no, I am. I don't think. Look, I think some people say, like, when I did the video yesterday about the breaking news with Arsenal being in talks with him, there were some people in the comments saying, you know, just losing it. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Like, this is not, I don't think some people understand what this is. It's a community to discuss things. It's not Sky Sports News. Like, and I think some people go, oh, it's not news. So no news then. And you're like, maybe they're new. Like, we do react to the news, but we also did 3 months of content through COVID where there was no news and there was no games. It's a community. So sometimes you will just react to a story or a theme or an idea or a solution. That's just the way it is. So I look at the Gyökeres deal, and obviously you've got to discuss some of the stuff that's out there, as we did about Record, but some people would say, well, why do you talk about it if you don't believe it? Because some people might not be aware of the story. Some people might believe the story. So, you've got to talk it through. But with Gyökeres, I actually don't think that anything's changed. You know what I think happens? I think time has always impacted mentality on transfers. When you think about Mbeumo, when Ornstein broke it last Monday, a week and a half ago, everyone was buzzing their tits off. Oh, Mbeumo. Oh, Mbeumo. What are they doing now? Oh, what's going on with Mbeumo? Maybe he's going to go to Spurs. What's going on? Nothing's changed. It's just Man United take a long time to do deals. So I remember it happening with Pogba. Oh, it's going to fall through. I know it's going to fall through. It still happened. Mbeumo will happen. It's just there is now a time delay. And in that time delay, people start to panic. And the same thing's happening with Gyökeres. We've had some really positive stories at the start of the week. And now, because there is this time delay, it allows for things to slip in. And as we know, agents will stir things up for their own benefit and clubs. Can United ask Mendes for help again, says Jacob. I'd be very surprised if George Mendes didn't get involved in this, really. Josh says, we need cash, not book value. FFP isn't the issue, says Josh. I'd love to know what you're thinking about there, Josh, because you've absolutely lost me. We need cash, not book value. FFP isn't the issue. I mean, we were just talking about Anthony. We can't get cash. We can only get book value. To make cash on Anthony, you need 50, 60 million euros to go above the 40 million euros that breaks us even. Garnacho is the cash because there is no book value there. It's just pure profit. Ruud van Nistelrooy came from the Eredivisie and was a world-class striker, says Red Devil Germany. Thank you very much for that. Also, we've done that one as well. So let me just talk to you then. I'll just go back. So obviously, good information this morning around the Osimhen situation and what would make Man United make a move. And I believe we will probably have talks with Osimhen at some point in the next few days and weeks, depending on what happens with Gyökeres. But on the goalkeeper situation, the feeling within the club is that Amorim and Wilcox want to replace Onana, but the issue is that Onana's just not making any moves to do anything at the moment. This has happened to United in the past. So basically, at the moment, Garnacho's people are talking to a lot of people to get him a move because he knows he wants to play football and he knows it's over at Man United. And to be fair, whatever you think about Garnacho, he ain't just sat there going, well, you find me a move. He wants to play football. He wants to be part of pre-season at a new club. And he knows his journey's over at Man United. So his agent is actively doing stuff. Same with Marcus Rashford. They know there is no way back at Man United. He wants to play in the World Cup. So again, very, very busy. With Onana, that's not happening. That's not happening. His agent isn't busy. He did change agent. I think it was around March time. So that did happen. But there is nothing going on at the moment around movement around Onana. So the goalkeeper situation is sort of on the back burner because they're working on other deals, Mbeumo and hopefully Gyökeres as well, and the striker situation. But Onana at the moment is, I think, on holiday, and so is his agent. I mean, I don't know whether his agent's on holiday, but there's nothing going on at the moment. The feeling is that if, in an ideal world, if they could move Onana on and the money was there, they would look to go where Man City are looking to go, which is Costa. At Porto, that's the goalkeeper that Amrin likes the most, and that's the goalkeeper that United would like to go for. But that's seen as a bit like Wharton in the midfield. They would love to go for Wharton in the midfield, but there's absolutely no chance of that. So where United go in the goalkeeping situation is the player they want is probably unrealistic. The player they want to remove isn't doing anything. So it's a bit of a... It's like clearing the garage out when you could just hoover the living room. Man United are in the living room doing the hoovering because it's a straightforward job. The garage is just, you know, do I need a skip? What's in there? And United, just with the goalkeeper at the moment, it's a problem they need to solve but are not focused on. And you know, from Onana's point of view, he's probably, reading between the lines, got the mentality that I'll be better next season and prove people wrong. Why can't we get a transfer right on the first go? Why we have to buy replacements every other season? Says Tushar. Thank you very much for that. Why is United always lazy when it comes to transfers? Man City already signed 4 top players, says Lamine. You took the wind out of my sails there a little bit. I mean, I wanted to come back with some sort of explanation, but when you look at what Liverpool have done, you look at what Man City have done. I mean, Man City have got the Club World Cup, so they're obviously moving quick. I mean, I was looking at Man City's squad this morning, and an amazing abundance of young players. You know, I know a lot of you wanted Cherki, didn't you? And that obviously has ended up with him going to Manchester City. But look, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, really. United have got their targets. We're in a difficult position. I suppose the simple answer is, when have Man United ever been Chelsea or Liverpool or Man City when it comes to transfers? We're crap at them. We've always been crap at them. Our reputation precedes us. Everybody always seems to know that we're desperate. Everybody always seems to know our business. Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City seem to have an aura of professionalism, discreetness and efficiency that we just don't have. And I don't know whether we'll ever have that. Maybe, but Man City don't get the back pages Man United get. No one reads about Man City. No one cares about Man City. So look, we're Manchester United. What's the saying? Hated, adored, never ignored. So I think that maybe that's got something to do with it. But we could be better in the market. Of course we could. But on the other hand, I would also say in our defence, when you finish 15th in the league and have the season we had, maybe we should be shopping around for people like Calvert-Lewin and Mateta, because that's our level. We're still trying to shop in shops where we're not actually at that level. So it does make it more difficult. Viking Crypto Warrior says, why are the media or other clubs not talking about the Man City verdict? I can't speak, says Viking Crypto Warrior. I don't know. I mean, look, obviously it's not the Man City stand. I mean, no one would be watching. But my stance on Man City is, look at how much money they spent in January. Look at how many players they brought in now. If this was Everton, I think that they'd have had their ban and everything very, very quickly. So I think that when it comes down to United and how we're working, I just think it's difficult, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's difficult look, if Man City get off, I actually think the anger should be aimed at the Premier League and teams like Manchester United, because if Man City get off, they clearly never thought that the rules that were in place would stand up to scrutiny. And if they don't, they've had 10 years of doing something that we could have been doing as well. Marlowe FC says, could it be that letting us think we are absolutely cooking and getting Gyökeres is just spin? That will backfire massively. Yusuf says, Mats sells, fantastic shot stopper. Mere, great ball playing goalkeeper. The goalkeeper market is better at the moment than the striker market. Interesting. But look, on the goalkeeping market, as we've said multiple times, you've got to move Onana on. And if you don't move Onana on, then you can't be in the goalkeeping market, can you? It's as simple as that. So I think that, yeah, and it's down the line. It's definitely down the line. Talk about the midfield, by the way, because we have got a little bit of that to talk about. Somebody said, what did you think about your mate Ben Foster saying this? Okay, so I'll read the quote. If you are happy picking up your wages, knowing that this is what Ben Foster had to say about Brian Mbeumo to Manchester United. If you are happy picking up your wages, knowing that there's going to be an awful lot of more pressure, a lot more eyes on you, a lot more judgment, and failure is just part of what they do, then go to United. I'd like to say, having not heard it, that's not bitter. Because it sounds a bit bitter. But I mean, Ben doesn't strike me as a bitter person. So if you're happy picking up your wages, knowing that there's going to be an awful lot more pressure, a lot more eyes on you, a lot more judgment, and failure is just part of what they do, then go to United. You see, I think it's that last bit, isn't it? If you're happy picking up your wages, knowing that there's going to be an awful lot more pressure, a lot more eyes on you, a lot more judgment, then go to United. I don't like the failure is just part of what they do, because failure is not really part of what we do, is it? We've won 2 trophies in the last 3 years. That's more than Arsenal have done. I think by Man United standards, we've had bad times, but by comparable to other clubs, we have actually won stuff. The bottom line is, Mbeumo is coming to Manchester United because it's Manchester United, and there's a project there that could be very exciting if it works out. Unfortunately, a lot of players have done that over the last 10 years. Bruno did it. Pogba did it. Sancho did it. Sanchez did it. Schneiderlin did it. You know, loads of people came to Man United based on a project of taking Man United back to the levels they need to be. And we haven't done it. So I think we're starting to get to the point now where people, maybe Ben Foster, look at it and go, if you're going to Man United now, is it just about picking up a good wage and status and accepting that, you know, you're going to probably fail and get a load of shit? And if you're okay with that, go and do it. I can understand that stance, if I'm being completely honest, but I don't think the players are coming to Man United going, I'll take the money and I'll take the shit because of the status. I think players like Mbeumo and Cunha are coming here to like Bruno did. They're coming here because they believe that they can be part of something. The chances of them being part of something, I think, is something else. But you know, I think it's very unfair on people like Cunha and Mbeumo, who could have gone elsewhere. Certainly in the case of Mbeumo, I think they're coming here because they want to come and play for Manchester United. And you know what? The bottom line is, the new kits come out today, and we're absolutely shit. We're absolutely shit. We didn't turn up in the Europa League final. We've had our worst ever Premier League season. We bought one player. This manager has got a terrible record. Next season is by no means exciting yet, and we won't be in Europe. And yet, we will have sold more kits today than any other Premier League team did in their first day of launch. So, that's one thing. That's just the interest and noise around Manchester United. Also, you sign for Manchester United as a Wolves player and you've got 1 million followers on Instagram. By the end of the day that you've signed for Man United, you've easily got 2. And within a year, you've probably got 10. So the status of playing for Manchester United, it's very much like I don't understand a lot of American sports beyond the NFL. But look at the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't won the Super Bowl in years. But you go and play for the Dallas Cowboys, it's one of the biggest franchised sports in the world. And franchise is not relevant, actually. It's the biggest name. And that's what Man United is. It's a big commercial club. Exactly, Anand. So I don't think people look at United as the wage. I think they look at it as the challenge and the status. Sorry, Mark. Most of the polite replies on my comments are calling me stupid, says Munaruddin. Yes, Amrin rebuilt Sporting, a team that was consistent in the top five. He came into a team that is aiming for top five and got us 15th. I'll leave it to the chat, Munaruddin. I've got nothing to say because it's just not where I want to go. And I've said my piece before. I'm not biting. When we get linked to a player, we expect them to sign the next day. I don't trust Ineos, but they seem to be better than Woodward and Co, says Jason Ogden. We sign Osimhen, we'll have five players out for AFCON, says Troy. And I don't think that that's relevant. Honestly, I don't think that if we don't get Gyökeres, we won't go for Osimhen because he'll be gone for the AFCON. You know, I think you go and get the quality that you can get, don't you? And I think that will certainly be the case with Manchester United. Just talking about the midfield, though, what was I told about the midfield, Mark? Okay. I think that the situation in the midfield is well documented. We mentioned this weeks ago. They really would love to sign Adam Wharton. And let me just say this as well, because I got pulled up on this morning because I mentioned it on the show last night. If United had sold Bruno for £100 million, they couldn't have gone and bought Adam Wharton for 80 because that deal's not there to be done. So I was basically told this morning, you can't put that out there because that's not fair. Like, you can't say that Bruno, if he'd gone, we could have gone and bought Wharton. United would love to buy Wharton, but that deal can't be done. So, yeah. We can't do the Adam Wharton deal. Man United would do the deal for Wharton. If Crystal Palace said we want £80 million, but you can pay us in instalments over the next 5 years, United would probably do it because they really do rate him and they really do like him. Beyond him, it's a mess. Like, there was Ederson talks, but the feeling is that he will probably end up in Saudi. And there is a concern as to whether you could play Ederson and Bruno together in a pivot too, which I agree with. I think Ederson works if Bruno's not in the midfield and you play him with Ugarte. I think that works a lot better. So I'm not sure Ederson's the profile that we're looking for. I mean, basically what Amrin wants is a Palinha who's 25 or a Holmlund from Sporting. And we are not going to have the money to do that. I think more and more, the midfield will either be keep it as it is or go for something a little bit younger, because Collier is meant to be the younger one, but I can see him going this summer. I really can. Casemiro's not going anywhere. Mainu's likely to sign a new contract. Ugarte's not going anywhere and Bruno's not going anywhere. And you've got no European football. Two positions, Casemiro, Mainu, Ugarte, Bruno. You don't actually need anybody if all of them are staying. And they probably all are. So, yeah, there's a bit of confusion as who the midfielder might be for Manchester United. But as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, from the same source, if United want to buy a midfielder and Amrin does want a midfielder, then Casemiro or Mainu have got to go. And the chances of those at the moment do look slim. So the midfield roster is full as things stand. Obviously, if Bruno had gone, then there would have been a spot there as well. But with what we've got at the moment, I'm not so sure that we will look at anybody in that sense. Andre Onana in the new goalkeeping jersey. It turns your stomach. I mean, it is a nice goalkeeping top. I've never bought one, but Arsenal is the club that Gyökeres wanted from the beginning. Gyökeres wants to play for Arsenal. That's his wish, and he's been very clear about that with his agent. Arsenal are now very advanced after yesterday's meeting. There is a great desire to speed up the process. That's from CNN Portugal. I just don't believe it. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to sign for Arsenal, But I just don't believe Portuguese reports, I'm afraid. Yeah. There we go. Let me just come back to the chat. Oh, yeah. Check out the video that Beth and Maud's did, by the way. That's really got me thinking about what my starting 11 with transfers would be next season. I feel like I will do a video on that at some point, but well done to them. They've done it already. Yeah, I think, yeah, we've got to sort this striker situation out. Have to sort it out. 90 quid for a shirt after that crap season, says William Jones. Mate, I think we're coming towards the end of the show now anyway. I remember when a home kit used to come out one year and then an away kit used to come out the next year. It was every 2 years the home kit would change and every 2 years the away kit would change. You now get three different designs every 12 months. It's just an absolute piss take. An absolute piss take. Cowboys have a no state income tax, says Bash. I don't want to see Bruno playing every single minute next season and the likes of Mainoo not getting minutes. Him playing badly, not being subbed, says Yazir. Well, I can't see it not happening, mate. To be honest. Ladios says he paid 120 at the Megastore. Ian White says, have the reports from Portugal not been more reliable lately? No, that's a, no, I don't think they have. I don't. If we keep Onana, we're going to have to bring a goalkeeper in anyway for when Onana goes to AFCON. So it looks like Bienda going, says Liam. Oh, yeah, we'll bring a goalkeeper in. It may be that we bring a goalkeeper in for about 15 million quid who might be able to compete with Onana. But that's, look, if I run a restaurant and I don't have faith in my head chef, so I bring another chef in to work alongside him who needs to learn the ropes, is that as good as sacking the head chef and bringing in a really good head chef? No, it's not. It's a halfway house, isn't it? So, but it's having the money to do it. That's going to be the big issue. Thank you, Liam. Okay, brilliant show this morning. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Let's see what today brings. Make sure you smash a like on the video and thank you everybody for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure to not spend 45 minutes talking about Gyökeres. I know we had a little bit about it because there was a little bit coming out of record, but I'm bored to shit with it. I'm so bored of it. That's why I just had to make some calls this morning and a few WhatsApps and just get some information and speak to people because I'm just so bored of it. I don't know whether some journalists are on holiday this week because there's a lot of decent journalists in this country who are just quiet as well. But information can be got. I would rather play Ben Foster than Onana, says Carlo. Thoughts with all those in the Indian plane accident, says Chris. I didn't know anything about that, Chris. So sorry to hear that. Obviously don't know the details, but it's a horrible thought. Horrible thought. Yeah, thoughts with everybody impacted by that. Take care, everyone. I'll speak to you in a little bit. Thanks for watching. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you soon.